Gospel reading, the church hears Jesus' words on the night before his death, his prayer for his disciples and for all who would believe in him through their words. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know the truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and O Redeemer. Amen. I recently rewatched a film from 1968 entitled Yours, Mine, and Ours. Have you seen that one? It starred Lucille Ball, Henry Fonda, and Van Jackson. Henry Fonda played Frank Beardsley, a naval chief warrant officer, and Lucy played Helen North, a civilian nurse working in the dispensary of the naval base to which Frank was assigned. Both have lost their spouses. They meet by chance in the commissary, and again when Frank brings his teenage daughter in for treatment, when Helen informs Frank that his daughter is simply having an issue growing up in a crowded house that lacks a mother's guidance. Frank and Helen immediately hit it off and go out on a date, though they both try to hide a secret from each other. Frank does not want to reveal that he has 10 children, and Helen is concerned about what might happen if she reveals that she has 8 children. When this information eventually comes out, they both resist their mutual attraction. But Chief Warrant Officer Daryl Harrison, played by Van Jackson, is determined to bring them together. He fixes both of them up with unsuitable blind dates and makes sure that those dates take place in the same restaurant. As Harrison expected, Frank and Helen end up leaving the restaurant together, with Frank's date sitting uncomfortably in the car between them as they carry on about their children. As for Helen's date, well, he snuck out of the restaurant after she told him that she was the mother of 8 children, trying to get rid of them. Frank and Helen continue to date, and he eventually invites her to dinner at his home. This turns into a disaster when Frank's sons mix hefty amounts of gin, scotch, and vodka into Helen's drink, causing her to become inebriated and to act in an embarrassing manner. The sons are caught as they try to stifle their laughter, and Frank gets the three to apologize. He then announces his intention to marry Helen. Most of the children in both families are opposed to the marriage at first, regarding each other and the respective step-parents with suspicion. Chaos ensues as a blended family tries to work out such things as bedrooms and bathroom schedules. Additional tension is created when one of Helen's sons insists on using the name Beardsley rather than North, and is told by his teacher that he must use his legal name. I'm not legal, he starts. And this causes Helen and Frank to discuss adopting each other's children, causing some of the children to complain that they don't want to rebury their deceased biological parents. And not too surprisingly, Helen becomes pregnant. And the birth of Joseph John Beardsley unites the children who agree to adoption under the common name of Beardsley. And what does this have to do with the gospel? Well, our gospel today is part of Jesus' priestly prayer in John's gospel. It comes after Jesus washes his disciples' feet, after he predicts that one of them will betray him, after Judas leaves the room. It comes after he predicts that Peter will deny him. Jesus prays the prayer knowing that he will soon be arrested, tortured, and murdered. Knowing the time is short and that the evil one is on the loose, he tells them that he will soon be returning to the Father, and they will weep and mourn, but their pain will turn into joy. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy." He then says in chapter 16, beginning with verse 32, "The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. I've said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Jesus begins his priestly prayer, his final prayer before his crucifixion in John's gospel. He intercedes with the Father, praying for the unity of his disciples in a hostile world. Although the portion of the prayer that is this week's lesson seems to concern only the disciples present in Jesus' lifetime, the verses that follow, especially verse 20, indicate that this prayer concerns not only them, but the later Christian community, which means us as well. In that verse, Jesus says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may live, that they may be one." In this priestly prayer, we hear about yours, mine, and ours. Yours refers to the Father, mine to Jesus, ours to the church. We hear that the task of the church is to embrace Jesus' vision of the kingdom as our own, to commit to bringing about that vision. Jesus asked that his disciples be protected, so that they may be one as Jesus and the Father are one, and so that they can love as they've been commanded to love, love that draws them into union with divine love and displays that love to the world into which they are being sent, the world that God loves. He prays that they be protected from the evil one, whose activity has been demonstrated in the actions of Judas. In John's gospel, Judas's betrayal is not just pointing out Jesus so that he can be arrested, but it is in leaving the community of believers, in refusing to be united with them to carry out Jesus's mission. When Jesus tells Judas to go quickly and do what he must do, he leaves and does not return. He's not privy to the truths that Jesus will share because he's turned his back on Jesus and his message. Think about who Judas was. Think about the commitment that he made. He initially made a commitment to Jesus. Like the other disciples, he left everything to follow Jesus. He was actively engaged in ministry. He witnessed Jesus' miracles and heard his teachings. He saw Jesus feed the crowds, calm storms, and raise Lazarus from the dead. He was put in charge of the treasury, but he became greedy. He agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. When he left that room that night to betray our Lord, he did not return. He did not seek reconciliation. According to John's gospel, Satan had entered into him. Jesus prays that the others be protected from the evil one. The same thing that we say when we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus not only prayed for protection for his disciples, but he prayed that they be sanctified in truth and in the word. The truth is not a what, nor is the word. They are a who, and that who is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. As was stated in the first sentence of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said throughout the prayer that the disciples actually belong to the Father, and the Father has taken them from the world and given them to him. He says in verse 10, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I've been glorified in them." This is what caused me to think about the movie Yours, Mine, and Ours, about the blending of disparate people into one family, taking on one common name. Despite whatever differences we may have, whatever allegiances we may have, we are all part of one family. We belong to God, called together and given the common name of Christian, followers of Christ, given the task of loving one another, of working together to show that love to the world and ushering in the kingdom of God, where every person has a place at the table, where the love with which Christ loves us radiates into the world. In Christ, I can call each person I encounter brother, sister, sibling, fellow beloved child of God. As Jesus prays for the disciples gathered around him that day, he prayed for us as well. He prayed knowing that his hour had come, approaching that hour confident that he had extended eternal life to all those to whom the Father had given. And he's made known God's presence by finishing the work that God gave him to do. In John's Gospel, eternal life is not about life after death. It's not about some far-off future. It is about the kingdom of God, a divine reality taking place in the present. Jesus states that eternal life means to know the only true God as revealed in the life and mystery of Jesus. Jesus stated that he's made God's name known to all who believe in him. He prays for those who know him because what they will say and do in proclaiming his message will often challenge social norms and expectations. He states that the world will hate those who follow him because they do not belong to the world or are not of the world. And by world, what is meant are the principalities and powers that promote and propagate division, hatred, discord, or other attitudes and practices that fight against Jesus' ministerial vision. It does not mean world as in the place that God created, for God loves the world. But the evil one is still afoot, fomenting rebellion against God, sowing seeds of hatred and division. When I was a child, I learned a song that you might remember. I think it was frequently used as a camp song. It's about knowing Christians by their love. Sound familiar? I see a couple of heads nodding. It was written by Peter Schultz while he was a parish priest at St. Brendan's on the south side of Chicago in the 1960s. At the time, he was leading a youth choir out of the church basement and was looking for an appropriate song for a series of ecumenical interracial events. When he couldn't find one, he wrote one in a single day. It is entitled, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." And here's how it goes. "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard human dignity and save human pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." And it ends, "All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yours, mine, and ours. Yours being the Father, mine being Christ. ours, be the church. Called to love one another, called to usher in the kingdom of God, where all are united, all are one. Amen.